Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Well, let's get into it quickly and not keep everybody waiting. 13:53:53 is the open line number on the Punters Postmortem, this edition on this Monday morning, sandwiched in between the weekend and also Anzac Day, where there's full race day coverage on Sky Sports Radio for Anzac Day, 13:53:53. If you call now, the lovely Tanya is sitting, waiting to take your calls. And don't forget text messages to 0419 767 272. So text away all the good things, the bad things, any of the controversy, any of the runners you'd like to query our panel of experts, our esteemed panel of experts. Ronnie Duffacy joins us. G'day, Ronnie.
Yeah, g'day, TK. It's an interesting day's racing. The carnival's over, but we did have that $2 million Sydney Cup carried over to this Randwick program. And all in all, it was. I thought the track played pretty well, considering the circumstances. It was much better than what we've been playing with them. Just off the rail a little bit, and was a good day's racing.
It was. In fact, it was probably the fairest of the tracks throughout the entire Randwick Carnival.
Just about. It's been very, very wet, and it was a little bit better there on Saturday. Although we worked with a heavy 8 throughout the day, there was no real inside lane, or they didn't have to get to the outside fence. There was plenty of room there, you know, 3 or 4 off the fence, and most horses had their chance.
I guess it would have been a bit of a talking point, and I know it's boring talking about tracks, but I do think the track played fairly on the weekend, Ronnie, but a heavy 8. I mean, it's been beautiful in Sydney and warm throughout.
I understand. It's an issue we've had at Randwick, and obviously the water levels are high at the moment, but it is an issue. It doesn't dry out. And, you know, if it would have been any other track with the, you know, 2 or 3 days drying weather, you would expect much better than heavy, put it that way.
Yeah, well, try 7, 8, 9
yeah.
Drying days. Anyway, it raced fairly, so that was okay. You could lead and win. You could come from back and wide and win, so that was all fine. You just had to try and find the winner, 13:53:53. I can tell you one bloke who did find the winner, our man, Dean Lester. Hello, Dino.
Hello, TK.
A nice grand dreamer, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was very exciting. First runner in Sydney and a winner, so it was good.
They tell me the team was very, very excited, in fact.
Well, I think we've got the unusual situation here of the Duff might have backed my horse, and I actually backed his horse yesterday and didn't get money out of our own.
And I didn't back my horse yesterday.
No, I didn't back Grand Dreamer either because the price was gone. I just let him run for the money.
You're going to be quick, though. You're going to get out of bed earlier.
He actually drifted a little bit, mate. 240 out to 270 on track, and that
some
still
might
wasn't...
have been on at $6, maybe. I'm not sure, but anyway.
Ronnie?
Little deduction there.
Yeah. 30%. Still a good result.
Yeah.
And a big victory, mate. It was never in doubt, Dino. You must have been. Tell me when you were comfortable.
Fair way out.
Yeah.
He made the run along the inside, and he's such a genuine horse. Once he got that chance to win, he was always going to be running through the line, so that was good.
And, mate, tell me what you do. What do you do with him now?
Keep finding sort of those restricted races, whether he comes back to Sydney, wherever it's wet. I mean, he's competitive on the dry. He's competitive in anything, but he's so much better on the wet. And so wherever we can find soft ground, he'll be going.
And no thoughts of maybe trying to find something, one of the minor ones up in Brisbane? Or
if the rain was in going up there, why not? But, we've tested him up to 2,400, and I think about between 16 and 2,000 is his best trip. So that'll be the distance range he stays in, and as I said, the search for the rain will be his.
And it was one of three for Kieran McAvoy as well, Ronnie.
Yeah, he's riding in great form. His stats at the moment are amazing. So he's riding with plenty of confidence. He was, just tagged him on Richard of York there. Everything went to the map there for him. And schedule was wide, but he got him travelling. He was always in control there. And I would have suggested that he went to Plan B on Grand Dreamer when everything just peeled a little bit too quickly for him. I would have thought he may have been happier just chiming in 3 deep with cover. But he knew he was travelling, and he got all the luxuries when Himalaya Dream went forward. forward as well in that race, and he just made all the right moves when my psychiatrist and Himalaya Dream put an unexpected speed on there.
Typical me. I wish he could have made it four, the first one being Tessera, who got up on the rails in race number two and made a late lunge, but Gibraltar Girl got there on the outside.
Yeah, well, she had a run under her belt where Tessera was, you know,
first
off
up.
A decent break, and he just got a little bit warm in the yard too. So and he had a
like, he's been gelded, hasn't he, Ronnie?
Yeah, he's been gelded. He's got a he had a big weight. He was yeah. he was forward enough, but I just think lacked that little bit of match practice and just got a little bit excited on the day. So there's upside to him, and he'll have a good preparation.
Yep, well done to Kieran McAvoy. That's 50 city wins now. Richard of York, $2.25. Schedule, of course, winning, and then Grand Dreamer for Dean Lester and trainer Robert Smurden. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
G'day, TK. Good morning, Duff. Good morning, Dino. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank
mate.
You.
Yeah,
oh,
mate, sorry. We tried to help you out. We put up $6. You know, you can't complain about that, can you?
No, you just got to know it was on, but I was a bit slow there.
Oh, well, someone wasn't. I had a look at one of the first bets there. It was $1,200 at the $6.
Yeah.
I think they've got a cop of around about 32 cents, I think it might have been, by the time the rest of them came out. So,
still enough to buy some China doll anyway.
Yeah, may not the special fried rice, but just the normal one. Yeah.
I'm not in that league. That bit like that.
I was going to say you don't eat fried rice because the you know the salt and pepper prawns, the duck pancakes, and then the you know the Wagyu beef curry come before all that, don't they?
Yeah, you know what's on the menu, don't you?
You wash it down with a bit of sago pudding and everything like that, and a limoncello.
Now, maybe the most impressive winner of the weekend, Nyetta, trained by John Thompson, kept unbeaten record intact. First up, unbeaten record intact. Now goes to Scone, and I saw those comments from John Duff that. Maybe not go to Brisbane. If does what he thinks she can do in Scone, might just tip her straight out and then target a race, I imagine, down the straight in the spring at Flemington.
Yeah, look, it's a tricky for her. We know she's an explosive mare. And look, she's still got to tick off that, you know, that 1,200-metre box as well. You know, she's more of a 1,000, 1,100 speed about her, but John's a great trainer and he'll work her out and work out a target for her. But that's a lovely race, that Hortensia. I think it's 1,100 at Scone.
Yeah.
She handles it wet, she handles it dry. She's come back well. She showed that she could race closer there on Saturday. Everyone thought she would have been back in the second half of the field, but she wasn't. They didn't go that hard, but at least she showed she could, you know, just sit on her on if they do. She does find not a too fast a race. She can put herself in the picture there. So she's a beauty, an absolute beauty. She's only, you know, what is she, 6 from 11 now? She's a winner. And I think the way he places her, she'll continue to be a winner.
And Glenn, I think when you put the markets up, I think everybody came for Nyetta straight away.
Well, she was 2.30 TK on Wednesday. By Saturday morning, she was an even money chance. Well, probably by Friday morning, she was an even money chance. And she looked as though, no doubt in the world, she was going to run the shortest price favourite of the day. And it was just a matter of whether or not the track was going to suit those horses that were getting back in the field. Well, when the first two winners came steaming down sort of four or five off the fence, I even said to Duff, how short is this going to become later in the day now,
right.
Nyetta?
Okay.
And she actually got out from where she was in the morning, which was a little bit strange to me when you thought, you know, so many people liked her. And then when she posied up third and fourth, the only concern was she just a little bit too fresh? But, you know, Blake had enough, under him to get her home. But it was probably a little bit surprising she did run the price that she did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, what? Just a couple of turns, wasn't it? What,
two to 230?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and then you look at that, a lot of people say, oh, geez, that's a drift. And I said, well, when she's been 230 to $2 anyway, she's only getting back to where she was in the first markets that went up. So, and you've got to also realise by the time, our markets on a Saturday, 40 minutes before the race, we're probably down around the 116, 18, 120% markets. If you can understand percentages, but the first markets that go up at the races are going closer to 130.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are going to get out. And that's a lot of times I try to explain to people, it might be a situation where a horse is $2 to $2.30, but I don't think that's a blow because it's only getting back to the price it was on the morning of the races.
I think she was a classic case of, she was the general rank and file punter and punters club, but she was the absolute standout of the day. But I think it got to a case where late in the day when the smart tote money comes in and the computer's teams come in, I think they bet against her. Maybe they didn't have her that short, because she did go from $1.70 to $2.30 on the tote a couple of minutes before they went into the, you know, as they went into the barrier.
Yeah, and the $1.70 was probably a result, as you said, Punters Club, but also a lot of all-ups, but still wasn't as strange as what Roaring to Win came up on the tote.
Yeah, we have $3. That had to be a roll-up or an all-up.
Yeah. But it came up short the place as well, so it must have been, you know, a decent each-way all-up.
Talking about Melbourne in the spring, and we'll be here before we know it. We've got to survive winter yet, Dean Lester, but where do you see Nyetta maybe fitting into spring campaign?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but she's so dynamic, fresh, and there's plenty of options for her going forward, and she's got a great winning habit, hasn't she?
Yeah, Dan, I like the way that John Thompson too, pointed out in the post race interview that his horses tend to improve. You know, he doesn't have them completely wound up for a first up effort, although she is so good fresh.
Yeah, she is. That's John's old school sort of training coming through, and keeping a bit for a couple more runs. But she's very good, and was one of the better wins of the day, no doubt.
What do you make of this Charlie Appleby? Godolphin trainer. Wasn't here, actually, for the second running of the Sydney
Knew
Cup.
The result, he'd already seen the race.
He'd already done it once, didn't need to see it again. But, geez, we think back to what happened with Charlie's runners last year, the Geelong Cup, the Sandown Cup, fourth in the Melbourne Cup, won the Lexus, won the Bendigo Cup, won the Queen Elizabeth, and now he's won the Sandown Classic and won the Sydney Cup twice, do you know?
Yes. Yep. And, they're... they're identifying the right horses, one and two. The other thing is that they're going well first go, but they're going better second go, and that's the key element to most of the imports, and those that run in the Melbourne Cup first up might learn that one day.
Why don't they?
Charlie has, I think.
Well, Charlie has, but the other Godolphin runners haven't.
No, Sayid Bin Sarur is very solid on just going into it first go, and whereas Charlie had his first go this year, and it was QE off the Geelong Cup, and Oceanographer, probably one run too many the other way for Oceanographer, but QE still ran fourth in the Cup, so he went very well.
Well, it took us a long while to think that you had to run the Saturday before the Melbourne Cup. That used to be, when I was growing up, everyone thought you had to run on the Saturday to win the Cup on the Tuesday. That's all changed as well.
Well, they taught us differently.
Yeah, I suppose we're teaching each other.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely taught us differently. I mean, just from a punting point of view, and I know that's got nothing to do with how the horses have got to be prepared, but, geez, just Aussie punters would love to be able to see a European once before they try and, you know, unload in a Melbourne Cup on them.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, everyone wants to have a look.
You can't put restrictions on trainers, though. You can't say you've got to give your horse a run somewhere so he can have a look.
No, exactly. But look, Charlie's got results in numbers, hasn't he? He's not just he's bought one or two horses out here. There was three or four over the spring, and obviously here in New South Wales, we might never have seen him again if it didn't win. But anyway, he's had a little bit of bad luck with that horse that went to Mornington, and and then that first running, he would have thought, what am I doing here? You know, and then he gets the results. So I think we're all happy that he got the result. Well, most people are.
Well, surely now that's the trigger for a whole lot more to come here to run over the championships in the staying races, because it took them a while, and once Vintage Crop won a Melbourne Cup, they all loaded up to get here. Mm. Well, surely for $2 million, it's a long way to come, but it was interesting. Those horses came from Dubai, and they've got the opportunity now to go back to run in the summer in England.
Yeah.
But surely now there's got to be more coming.
There has to be. You look at him. He's an exposed horse. He's a five-year-old. He's had 23 starts. He's earned $240,000 in prize money. And all of a sudden, he wins a $2 million race.
Yeah, and he'd been in a hurdle.
Yep.
He was with Mark Johnson originally, wasn't he?
Yep, they bought him off Mark.
So had Penglai Pavilion. They'd run at Cheltenham. So, you know, they're not the top grade stayers.
I'm watching the hurdles now to try and find the international horses.
Yeah, the up and overs. I mean, they've got to stay on, and then they've got to complete the course, and then
Vintage Crop had beat over the hurdles.
The end of those 2 mile hurdles, they're really running. They're strong stayers, not the absolute long distance, but the 2 mile hurdlers are very smart horses.
Well, Glenn, I don't think you'll be betting overs anything Charlie brings down for the spring, will you?
Well, it's once bitten, twice shy. And
yeah, that's right.
Realistically,
They'll probably be unders now.
Well, it used to be the situation where you'd put them up probably unders anyway, but then have a reassessment when they got here. Because there was no point.
Yeah, because they've got to travel arrive. Yeah.
Although a lot of people say, well, you should get a bonus in the first point, you know, because you've got to factor in whether they come on.
Good point.
But you know, you look at them now, and well, you know, Big Duke didn't come to Australia with any sort of fantastic record before he got here, and he's managed to, you know, run 1-2 every start, or 1-2-3 every start he's had in Australia.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic prep.
Just ask one question. Sure. Well, mainly to Dean, mainly. Well, how do we assess these horses? Who's the horse with the most upside of Appleby's with going into a spring? A Francis of Assisi, a Kiwi, a Oceanographer, a Polarisation. What else do they have here? Scottish or something like that?
Well, Scottish would be the best of them. We only saw him in the Caulfield Cup. I would have thought that Francis of Assisi had had a long time off before we saw him, so. He's being targeted.
Well, he won the Queen Elizabeth, didn't he, Dan?
Yeah, he did, and the Bendigo Cup.
Yeah, well, he's the flashing light horse that you know, won by the furthest margin and went from one point to another on the way up. So, therefore, that's going to stick in your mind a little bit more. Probably the majority of people have forgotten Scottish because he only had the one run here.
Yeah, and it was still a pretty good run behind a star in Jamaica. So
exactly.
Well, they're not... I put my novice hat on here, Dino. Won't they... they'll be... try and find one to get in under the weights of those
horses.
There'll be another
group of them.
There'll be a sec. They're like, I guess their version of last year will try and come here again, won't they, and sneak in at the lighter weights.
I think had Oceanographer had won the Geelong Cup, he'd have gone close in the Melbourne Cup.
But he had to run again. Yeah. So they're looking for that sort of horse, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and gone are the days where they used to send their better quality or top grade horses being in Ascot Gold Cups and things like that. Now they're targeting those lower level.
They understand the handicap.
Yeah, and they understand the horse required.
And, Dino, what about this? I'll ask you, I'll bounce this off you. Why not leave the horses here? Why not leave Polarisation here and try and just give it every possible chance maybe for the spring?
Well, we had James Ferguson on Melbourne Radio yesterday and we posed that question to him, and he said that's something that's going to be discussed in the future. It won't be in the immediate future with this group, but whether the end of spring horses are left on and traveled out here from time to time.
I know it's not a cost factor. I know they're not worried about that. I understand they've got their own private plane to fly their horses around, but I just thought, just to dot the I's and cross the T's. And I've got to say, I mean, I know Charlie's very, very good with his time, but James Ferguson, he's super impressive as well, isn't he?
Super impressive, yep. And, whether they think this time of year it's good to get the sun on their back and be back in their summer.
They heard of Queensland?
Well, that's right. Huh? There's another factor.
They could all go and spell up there. That's the old theory. Mm. Maybe even have a run. Anyway.
There's another theory.
Yeah. We're big on theories.
They've had a little bit of success with the ones they've set out here that have stayed. They did win a Doncaster with one not too recently, and the Hartnell's another one.
Well, John's actually bringing him down. John O'Shea's trying to bring them down earlier, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. So there's no doubt. They'll win it eventually because they'll just keep on coming. 13:53:53. Ronnie, can I get your opinion, mate? Let's just quickly run through the Sydney Cup. Who shot the Barman? Fantastic. Big Duke, what did you think?
Look, he's had a fantastic campaign. You know, he's been here, there and everywhere. He looked great again on Saturday, and he ran another terrific race. You know, what was he beaten? Just barely a length he was beaten.
Yep.
So what can you say? He's just an iron horse who's just gone from strength to strength, wet, dry, whatever. Of the others, you couldn't say a lot. This Annus Mirabilis is going to make it some sort of jumper if he can jump. He's had a terrific campaign. I think he was purchased. Was he a Lloyd Williams horse?
He was, yep.
Yep, he won a bag at an Adelaide Cup, and he's run fourth in the $2 million Sydney Cup. And if they, like I say, I think he was bought as a jumper, and if he can jump, he's certainly got good credentials there. I thought Harlem was okay. You know, he was... What is it? It's his third start here. He went from a first-up run at Caulfield or somewhere, and then went straight to a Queen Elizabeth second up there, and he sort of loomed there at the 300, third up at 2 miles. So he may be work in progress for something over the spring. He's a big, heavy stallion, and didn't really look like a 2 miler in physique, but he certainly did catch the eye that he has something to offer here in Australia.
They backed Panglai Pavilion, but left it in the bag, mate.
Yeah, they did. Look, he seemed like a pacemaker for Polarisation. He found his back. Polarisation more or less found his back again. But I suppose that's the way they like to ride him. But he chased down.
He was disappointing.
Yeah, well, he had his chance. Yeah, yeah, he made that little flat.
Just he wasn't good enough the first time.
And he wasn't the second.
And he was maybe even below that the second time. We're going to take your calls. The panel now on 13 53 53. I'll get to the text messages 0419 767 272. If you'd like to query our experts with any of your investments over the weekend, just give us a buzz on 13 53 53. We'll get you up and going pretty quickly. Wanted to go back to Sir Bacchus maybe, which looks pretty bad on paper, Ronnie. That run of Sir Bacchus, it was second last in the seventh event, the Randwick Handicap over 1,000, won by Nieta, but I thought, well, I had no possible chance in the end. I'm not saying it would have won, but I thought it could have flum third.
He was in out of his comfort zone in a 1,000-metre race. I don't think he's ever contested one, but he had the big weight. It wasn't probably run to suit him. Considering it wasn't run, when I say not run to suit him, it wasn't run at 1,000 metre speed this race.
No, hopefully Ronnie hasn't dropped out there. Let's get to our open line callers and start with Albert. G'day, Albert. Hello, Albert. Ronnie's back.
Open line call.
Ronnie, you're there?
Good morning, boys.
Hello, Albert. Good morning.
Albert from Kiama. I'm on the beautiful Clarence River at the moment, but I just wanted to say, certainly one of the breeders of single gaze, what a great result on Saturday. Cathy O'Hara rode two winners, and single gaze won the listed stakes race up there after that bad fall in the Oaks, but she's back. But also, just a bit of nostalgia, boys. I don't know if you know that the Robinson family from Berry,
yes,
Kevin trained Ken Bell, who was the mother of Boban, or five group ones, and Kerry trained the mother of She Will Rain, who naturally won the...
Slipper?
The Slipper. And Kevin also trained the mother of Chautauqua, Lovely Jubbly.
There you go.
So there's a family from Berry, so Asa Robinson's a very well known. I just thought a little bit of history that people might jog their memory that the country trainers can't do it.
Well done, Albert. More than happy to take that call and pump up the trainers from...
It's great, mate. I'm on the beautiful Clarence River today. I'm not going to Grafton races. I'm up visiting my sister and the horses at a place called Lawrence, but we'll be watching the races there. But that's a great show and just a bit of history on the South Coast, boys.
Well done.
And go single gaze.
Go single gaze.
Tell you what, the boys can have fun. The single gaze boys when it wins. I know. Well, they actually had fun when it ran placings in the 2-year-old and 3-year-old Magic Millions. I think they were just as excited then.
It's one of those good battling stories, isn't it, Glenn?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously a great association for Cathy O'Hara as well.
Well, we spoke on Saturday morning. Jason Coyle was on about his recent record. He'd had, I think, 9 winners and 16 placings from his last 50 starters. And there he bobs up at Doomit on Saturday and trains a double. What about Sweet Serendipity? Last time in, it was a horse where you had your heart in your mouth when you wanted to back it in a 1,000-metre race. And this time in, it's gone bang, 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 2 wins and a nose second in 3 1,200-metre races.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, certainly. We're taking calls. Let's go down to Neil. Hi, Neil.
Hi. How you going?
Good, thank you, Neil.
Yeah, mate, I heard you talking a while ago about the training techniques. You know, the Northern Hemisphere blokes are teaching us a bit because of what we considered had to be done to win a Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
I just go back to, I suppose, it's drawing a long bow, but go back to the early days of my Melbourne Cup, like Archer won the first two and I had to walk him for, what, 2 or 3 days or something to get him to Melbourne.
Yes.
And I guess in those days the feeding programs would have been just a bit of grain and some chaff, but everything's changed, as I know. But what about, there was a horse, I think was a great training achievement. There was a horse in the late 1880s that won the Victoria Derby at his first start in a race, and his second start in a race he won the Melbourne Cup.
In the 80s?
1880s.
Oh, sorry, 1880s.
Yeah, the late 1880s it was. I just can't think of the right date. It was a horse called Martini Henry.
Okay.
That's just an indication that the Northern Hemisphere, in those days in Australia, they would have been training probably the same way as the horses trainers over the North End.
I think won the Derby, because I don't think you can run a maiden in the Melbourne Cup, can you?
Well, plenty of maidens have won the
Derby. Now, but they were just happy to get a quorum together at those days.
No, yeah. I think that's one of the conditions of the Melbourne Cup. Now you can't
it
run
is,
as a maiden.
No, you can't.
Yeah. As TK said, plenty of maidens have won the Victoria Derby.
No doubt
Fire
about
Oak.
That.
Was he a maiden?
Fire Oak from
New
Redding.
Zealand.
Redding.
Yeah. Hello, Max. Good morning.
How are you, TK? Hey,
well,
thanks.
Good, thank you.
Mate, when you're talking about training, I want to talk about two horses out of the Sydney Cup in a minute, but when you talk about training, in the old days, Jeff Murphy, Hanlon and Kelly, they run them over 1,600 and then run them over a mile and a half. But Bart Cummings said, when they talked to him about the English training and that, he said, where are the training facilities here like that? He said, we could train them that way.
Yeah. That's correct.
But I want to talk about Harlem and Big Jed going forward, mate, into the spring.
Go for your life.
Yeah, mate. I wanted to talk about what the boys think about them going forward into the spring. Who was a better horse? And I'll tell you what, Munsey's a burglar. He could have left the markets up the same as a fortnight before.
Yeah, he should have. That's more important than the fortnight.
Of course it is, yeah.
I just think the line there is who shot the barman when we're talking Melbourne Cups. He's had a few goes at him, and he's a big time performer. You know, this was a solid race, the Sydney Cup. But look, it's a long way off a Melbourne Cup. You know, Big Duke, I don't know. He's still a 5 year old, and this other horse may mature a little bit more, Harlem. But I still think they got a way to go to say I want to back him in a Melbourne Cup, considering the class of the Melbourne Cup these days.
Well, I'll tell you something now too, Ron.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago on Channel 7, when they had the thing on, Big Duke's the favourite, and Francesca said, over there, she said, Big Duke could be a 72 rater. She said the other two horses are 114 raters, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Polarisation and Panglai Pavilion, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean,
The Diva won a Sydney Cup and Melbourne Cup, didn't she?
Yeah, but she's the Diva.
Yeah.
Even Dominic Byrne came on the Bensley show on Friday, and these three he gave was Libran, Who Shot the Barman, and Harlem. He never discussed the other two imports. He said he thought they were Harlem was a better horse than the other two.
Yeah, at the odds, at the way he'd done his market, they're the horses he could be on at the way that he priced the race. He didn't actually rate them in front of the others. But Dom was talking about how he'd priced the race and what he'd back at the odds they were as compared to what price he had them. I think he said he had Penglide Pavilion and Polarisation, and he'll probably text me in a minute and tell me. I think he had them around about 8 or 10 to 1 chances.
Right.
He didn't say they couldn't win, but that's how he priced
the race. He priced them longer, yeah.
And Who Shot the Barman, Libran and Harlem, who were at the stage where I think $12, $17 and $51. On his market, they're the overs in his market that he'd be betting to. Right.
Well, the two horses run above that market expectation. And Who Shot the Barman run better than a $12 chance, and I would have thought Harlem run better than a $51 chance.
Yeah, well, Harlem, I think, ran about $17 or something, and Who Shot the Barman started about $11.
Now, Mitch from Wagga. Now, Glenn Munsey.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch. Yeah, see you in a couple of weeks.
Glenn Boss came down from Singapore to ride Big Duke. He goes, Mitch from Wagga says, for a horse that normally settles close to the pace, to be dragged back from a handy barrier to third last was baffling. Settling closer may prove a different result. Thoughts, Mitch from Wagga. Ronnie?
Well, the way the race was run, I don't know whether I agree with that. He sort of chimed in at the right time, I would have thought.
Well, he had his chance, didn't he? I mean, not anyone else. I thought he had his chance.
Well, there was more speed in this version of the Sydney Cup
they flew
than there was in Mark 1 of the Sydney Cup.
Yeah.
And they probably thought, well, there's going to be more speed. We'll just let him flop out of the barriers and feel where he's comfortable rather than bustle him along. You know, he has got beat three quarters of a length.
Yeah.
And that's not to say if he's, you know, two pairs closer, does he beat the other two? Who shot the Barman settled a lot closer from a wide barrier and travelled in the run best that he's travelled for a long while than he did in the first version.
Okay. All right.
In
let's,
a faster run race.
Let's keep taking calls. Hi, Robbo.
G'day, boys. Yeah, a bit of bad luck. And again, another way to lose your money. I took an all-up bet. I had that it was Prince of York into Naida. Mm. All-up Lib ran for the place.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the race, and I've tried to get a replay. And I checked the stewards' report, and Lib ran pulled up lame. So what actually happened? Does anybody know?
He was pulled out of the race. They down the straight. He's obviously been a little bit distressed there, and pulled up. I think it was only mildly lame. Like he's a horse that's had a history that he was off for a year with a tendon, but I don't think it was that severe. But maybe something's eventuated since he's cooled off at home, but we haven't heard yet.
Mm. Just stopped another one, Robbo. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, thanks, boy.
Thanks, Robbo. 13:53:53. Taking your calls. I will get the text messages. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Just a couple of quick ones. Firstly, shout out to Mark the Montfort. Good to see him getting some force, winning and running better. He's only got a small stable now, but he has produced three fantastic apprentices in Jessica Taylor, Rachel Murray, and now Laurie Ray, who's now training. Now he's last three apprentices, so he's done well in training other racing people as well. But my gripe is with the provincial and country championships. I think the provincial championships is becoming a little bit irrelevant in that when you're attracting stables that are Group 1 stables and training lots and lots of Group 1 winners, and they can get multiple runners in that race, I think we've got to look at the country championships and maybe divide that into two types. Near country and far country. So we put a circle around, we take out Kembla, take out Goulburn, and we take out Newcastle, and maybe Muswellbrook as well, and then we're going to have the near country ones and then the far country. Because that really does then give the battlers a chance.
Yeah.
Because if you keep Scone and Muswellbrook in, the Mazaras can warehouse a horse for 6 months or 8 months, put it into their own training, and come down and collect a race worth an awful lot of money that may have only been a city performer. And as far as Chris Lees, he's a great trainer, fantastic trainer, but he's a Group 1 trainer. You know, and if these guys can then get in to win a subsidised race against guys who are battlers, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, what happened this year? You know, who won the provincial?
Well, Chris had eight in the previous year, but do you have two this year?
Hmm. Who won it? The battler from Canberra.
Yeah. And what you talk about, you know, Group 1 trainers, tell me the number of runners Paul Perry has had in a provincial championship.
Mm. Yeah.
He targets races every day of the week, Paul Perry.
I think Bob's ideas, his arguments, okay.
Well, there's also a massive anomaly with country and provincial championships and highway races, TK.
Yeah.
I know Ronnie's going to have a go at me for this, but if you're a horse trained in Canberra, you can run in a tab highway, which are for country horses. You can't run in the country championship. You have to run in the provincial championship.
But still, a horse from Canberra won the provincial championship.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but there's an anomaly. You're talking about, you know, altering the conditions of the country championship, the near country and far country.
Look,
1 minute you're a country horse, and the next minute you're a provincial horse.
I think the provincial championship this year went to a battler. I think the country championship's got those, you know, the better stories from, you know, my point of view, and you know, the more battlers trying to come to the big smoke and have a good victory and produces the better story behind the stable door.
Qualifying races in every area.
Yeah. But I think at least we've got them going. I think we can massage them as we go forward. So, you know, I don't think Bob's ideas without some sort of legs. But, yeah, you know, it's all good. Any sort of innovation we can have, I'm not against. So I'm sure maybe, Bob, you might like to pen that and send it into Racing New South Wales as well, and they can maybe have a look at that idea and, you know, come up with something else to attract a little bit more interest as far as the public's concerned. 13:53:53. We'll go down to Nick. Good morning, Nick.
G'day.
How are you?
I'm okay. I want to talk about Corey Brown's ride on Mike's psychiatrist.
Yep.
I thought it was pretty lousy, mate. He seemed to go to sleep on that mare, and it's pretty well known that she needs to be kept going, and by the time he got it going again, they'd gone past her and a race was over. Even Darren Flindell said something about it anyway.
It was well supported.
Yeah, well, I was on. It was second favourite. And if you have a look at the replay, he seemed to doubt whether to hit her on which side, and he was mucking around with the reins a bit, and then he got it going. It was over. And I was at Randwick, and when I was down there, I had a look at Joe Pride. You should have seen his arms going, and he was talking to him after the race. I don't want to be a sore loser, but...
No, okay.
Well, I'll tell you, Corey said to me, she needs a psychiatrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he said he couldn't get it going, right, in the last part of the race. He said when she got near the winning post, she took off again. And you have a look at, and Michael Fraser's big on this, and I know Dino is, you know, they call it through the line and past the post.
Yeah.
She absolutely sprouts wings when she goes past the line. And Corey's just there. I spoke to him. I said, what about it? And he just stood there and shook his head.
Yeah.
You know, she's he's got another one, Joe, New Tipperary.
Yes.
It's a very, very similar type horse to My Psychiatrist. Brett Abdullah rides New Tipperary perfectly because he doesn't give up on it. I'm not saying Corey gave up on My Psychiatrist, but certain horses have certain traits, and you really have to get in their head to know how to ride them the right way.
Well, that's, and even if you do, if it's a psychopath, it's a psychopath.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's unfortunate, isn't it? You've got to have the mind as well as the physical ability.
And you might only have to wait till Friday week to see my psychiatrist again, because I think it's going to Wagga.
Okay. We're going to Wagga.
Are you coming to Wagga, TK?
We're coming to Wagga.
Another Jack outside broadcast.
Looking forward to it.
Then you're going to back up at Scone.
We'll be at Scone.
$2 million in prize money. Racing New South Wales have just put a tweet out here. Scone Cup Carnival offering $2 million in prize money.
It's my favourite Scone.
But before that is Wagga. So it's Thursday week and Friday week. Town Plate Day Thursday. Wagga Gold Cup Day on Friday. We had the prelude yesterday. And good meeting there yesterday. Timmy Donnelly produced one yesterday. First run back that it had a wind operation. It had gone to a rehoming facility and everything like that. And he's too good, Timmy.
Well, that's the...
Started 6-4. He's just too good.
That's the great thing about these two-day carnivals too. I mean, so many people just set their horses for a particular race during those couple of days and everyone gets up there. Hello, Rob. Good morning.
G'day, mate. Yeah, look... I just wanted to ask Mr. Munsey about, I had an each-way fixed odds bet in the original Sydney Cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting to get my money back.
You had an all-in bet or a fixed odds bet on the final field?
No, an each-way fixed odds bet on tally.
In the final field?
Yes.
Well, mate, they were refunded on the Saturday. So
2 weeks ago.
I don't know where
you've
been for the last 2 weeks, but they were refunded on the Saturday.
When I took my ticket in, it said that it wasn't paying yet, and this was the day at the Sunday, and then they rang customer service for me, and the customer service said I had to fill in a form and get it signed by a JP. So I went and did that and sent the form in with the ticket. And I rang customer service again a week ago, and they said, "Yes, your refund's been approved, and it's been sent out on the 15th."
Oh, mate, Australia Post's problem, not ours. You know, we've already sent the check.
Fix it up, Glenn.
Yeah, yeah.
Glenn, yeah. Come on.
Fix it up,
mate. Rob, your check's in the mail. Haven't you heard that one before?
Look, Rob, call us back if you don't get the check by next week. All right, okay. And we'll just take it out of Glenn's pocket. This one's for Glenn Munsey as well. Glenn,
chloroform.
I'm having a vigorous discussion with the neighbour who claims that the Tab Limited is owned by the Victorian Tab. Does own the Tab? Also, why are there fixed odds?
New South Wales Tab was privatised back in... whenever.
Yep, whenever.
And if you could say the New South Wales Tab, in inverted commas, is owned by shareholders.
Tabcorp, it's a publicly listed
company.
Yeah.
And its headquarters are in Victoria.
Yep.
Tabcorp Limited is headquarters are in Victoria. And Tabcorp as a private company, or a public company I should say, not a private company. I'm not that big on the stock exchange. Tabcorp Holdings, I think it's its official title, controls the totalisator, for want of a better term, in New South Wales, in Victoria, and in the ACT.
Yep, and quickly, mate, just respond to this. I know the answer, but why? Also, why are fixed odds the same in both states? Well, it's the same company.
It's the same company. Yep. If you've got an account, you can have an account in different states. Because we offer different products in different states.
Yeah, but the totes are different.
Paramutual's different.
Yeah, the fixed odds are fixed odds.
Yeah, and the Victorian is part of SuperTab, which is the ACT, Western Australia and Victoria.
Okay.
And then New South Wales is New South Wales.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can have accounts in different states. And as I said, if fixed odds-wise or for, you know, sport-wise, we actually offer different products in different states because the governments in each
state only allow or
can allow different things. You can bet UFC in New South Wales, for example. You can't bet it in Victoria.
All right. Yeah, and that goes on forever. Let's get back to the open line, 13 53 53. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, mate.
How are you?
Never better. Sky never bluer, the grass greener, or the girls prettier.
To the panel about Paul Harvey, the Western Australian jockey.
Mm. The pontiff.
Paul Harvey?
Yes.
I just want to know three things. Is he suspended? Or is he cutting back on his rides? Or do you think he might be a bit over the hill?
Dean?
Thanks, might be all three.
don't dare ask him the third one.
But he hasn't been riding for a while now.
Yeah, he does take extended breaks, so he might be on one of those. He used to take his holidays during the carnival, which was always fascinating. But
the Perth Carnival?
He had a disagreement with the press there before one carnival.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, you know what to you blokes, I just won't ride.
Yep.
Was he the jockey who used to go to the courts all the time to get his suspensions overturned? Mm.
They all do that now.
Yeah, possibly. They all do that now. But I thought he was
the version of Willie Pike 10 years ago. He was the go-to man when you were doing your money.
He was a great rider.
The pontiff.
He still is. He just doesn't. He just rides very selectively.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, just keep an eye out, Doug, and you'll have to make your own mind up whether he's riding as well as he used to. But
yep.
Okay. Plenty of people turned in desperation to the pontiff late on a Saturday when they were trying to get out of trouble. There's no doubt about that. We're taking your calls on Punters Postmortem. We've got time for one more, haven't we? Harold, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Oh, Harold.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not interested in the county championship. I'm going to Mudgee on the 6th of May. I'm going to get a couple of mates together and we're thinking about, well, we're not yet, but I'm going to stake a bit into stuff about that.
Good.
Anyway, the other one, racehorses are allowed to race with no race plates on or with no shoes on at all.
Well, if a horse throws a shoe, for example, behind the barrier and they can't get it on, I think they offer them the connections, the opportunity, if they can find them, if it runs without plates on. Because I know it happened with Decision Time at Grafton once. But he'd had glue-on shoes on or something like that, and they couldn't get the shoe back on and they had to scratch it because they didn't want it. But there are horses that have run without plates on when they've lost a plate or whatever.
Yeah, but they go to the barriers with plates on.
No, they have to have them on to start with. Yeah, they can't go out without plates on.
There you go.
Is that the same with picnic racing?
Well, I would think so.
No, you've got to have the plates. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But hey, the Country Provincial Championship... Wonderful thing, mate. That Volandis and whoever his team is are doing a wonderful job up there.
Ah, good on you. Well done for that, Harold.
Paul Harvey's had 100 rides in the metropolitan area this season in Western Australia and ridden 18 winners. He's got the second best strike rate behind William Pike.
I've got the three little dots coming up on my iPhone. I've texted Simon Miller in Perth to ask him, so I'm hoping we get an answer in the next few seconds.
Well, you concentrate on that, Dino, while I go to
his
Ronnie.
His last ride was on the 8th of March at Ascot.
January.
Okay,
so...
6 weeks.
6 weeks ago. Yeah. Ronnie, you got a horse to follow?
I'm going to stay on a horse that ran last on Saturday. He's back. A horse called Black on Gold.
Got poleaxed.
Yeah, that wasn't his style of race. He was in the wrong part of the track, and he just got hampered all the way up the straight. I reckon he still will do something if they take him to Brisbane.
Yeah, that's a good one to follow, yep. Dino, have you got one to follow?
Yeah, just on Paul Harvey, having a break and not sure when he'll return. He does that.
So he's a little bit, he dances to a different tune a little bit.
Oh, very much, very much. All right. Of a different cloth.
Run, don't race.
Well, Super Haze is a horse to follow for me. TK had a race two. We had a fantastic meeting at Caulfield, but
sorry, we haven't had time.
That's all right. Super Haze ran really well. 2,000 metres next start, he'll be winning. He's a nice stayer in the making.
Okay, Super Haze, we've got that one down in our black bookers. And Glenn, have you got one?
He's a nice horse schedule. Just one of those perfect cases in point. We talked about Lloyd Williams selling Annus Mirabilis. He's one that came out of Lloyd's stable schedule. Matt Griffiths only had it, I think, 5 runs now. I think he's won 3 times in 2 seconds, and he's a very, very nice horse schedule.
Schedule, there you go.
Yeah, he won the Tab Highway, which was only a Class 2 event.
Yeah, he won like a good horse, didn't he?
Yeah, and Perla from Kieran McAvoy's he has been.
Yeah, it was, no doubt. Big day for you again tomorrow, mate. Dino, Anzac Day.
Yeah, Anzac Day, Flemington, the St. Ledger. And
Rock and Swing, has it got any hope there in the St. Ledger? Ronnie's got a photo of it on the wall.
Very hard to beat. I think it'll be winning. Blinkers go on. A
bit dry track.
A little bit, although we've got a bit of rain about. Yeah, but yeah.
It's a bit of a Dumbo, that horse, though.
Yeah, those horses that come off the Sydney Carnival that come to the St. Ledger, they nearly always win it. And it used to be Bart that did it. It'll be James tomorrow, I think.
Okay. What about Merchant Navy in?
Merchant Navy's got a good hope. He's well enough found by your folk at tab.com.au, but he's got a good chance. I'm just trying to think. There's a good run.
Dornier, they're asking about here. Ross Dog wants to know about Dornier.
It'll run the trip, but I think it lacks a class to win a St. Ledger. But, Merchant Navy, the one to beat. There's a good little roughie in that race called Blackburn. I think you've got him currently at about $26. He's got a good little hope.
Blackburn. Right.
Blackburn, in race $26. Four. There's been the grand total of $7 invested on him, of which 5 has come this morning.
Well, that was me.
And it'll be turned off to about 14.
Yeah, there's a bit more coming now.
Hey, your horse is in that race too, Ronnie, Mr. So-and-so. You'll be there in the morning, Ron? Anzac Day?
Have fun, Glenn.
He's off to the dawn service.
We're replacing Ronnie with a much brighter and pleasant form person tomorrow morning. We'll have Lizzie Jelfs on.
That's nice.
She's doing a great job.
That's nice.
Beauty and the Beast. The Beast will be at home listening, and the Beauty will be on giving her tips for
good on you. Well done, Glenn. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Dino.
See you guys.
Thanks, TK.
Always good to have punters post-mortem. That flew, didn't it?